Welcome into the holiday edition of Course of Life, Alex alongside Mike. And Mike, I'm feeling blessed this week. I had a lot of great things happen to myself here, visiting the family back in Massachusetts. A lot going on. I know you had a little bit of an interesting voyage yourself, watching some dogs. Minimal damage to the house, hopefully. Everything's still standing up there?
Yeah, it looks like anywhere they peed, I was able to clean up, even on some of the carpet. I was able to come right up because I caught it early enough. So that's good. No problems there. And, you know, they only woke me up in the middle of the night once. So it's all good.
Nice.
It's all good.
Any number twos to worry about, or was this just number ones here?
No. And if they did, they've hidden them really well and they don't smell too bad. Because I will say when we go out for a walk and they'd go ahead and do their business, it was, oh, man, was it smelly.
Good stuff. All right. Well, my week was a little less dog filled. I was living the life here as a Boston sports fan. Got to see a Patriots win live at Gillette. Merry Christmas to that. Got to see an unbelievable Celtics win on Christmas night. Kyrie Irving just went off against the Sixers in overtime with 40 points in the win. And Mike, my family even surprised me. I've legit never been on the receiving end of a surprise party. They had a surprise wedding shower for me and my fiance. I got hooked up with gift cards galore, so I'll be hitting the registry hard. And now it's basically just up to us to stuff our faces until that pre-wedding diet starts on January 2nd. So it's good times all around.
Yeah, you know, I got to make sure I get into a diet too, get myself back into golf shape, because we will have the Lausanne Invitational before your wedding.
Indeed.
And I need at least have some sort of showing. yep. There's a lot that's going to go on in 2019. And for our top five, we're going to give our top five golf resolutions for the upcoming year, because why not?
Yeah. So my number five, Mike, is one that we've been asking for years. We loved it when it was first introduced, and technology has just gotten so ramped up. I feel like in 2018, everything has just been put to the extreme. We want more and more and more. So I'm just going to ask for it. My resolution for 2019, when I'm watching golf, I just want more Shot Tracer. Just give it to me on every shot possible. I know it is hell to lug these huge Shot Tracer cameras around and position them all over the course, but just give me more. Tiger and Phil really tease me with a good amount of it. My first in the top five golf resolutions for next year, just give me more Shot Tracer. That's all I ask.
Yeah. You know, Shot Tracer is always a good thing to have. My number four on our top five here of resolutions for golf for next year is actually to play some more. Other than maybe going and hitting the Top Golf a few times during the year, I unfortunately did not get to do a whole lot out there. But
yeah, for real.
I've got a new 56-degree Cobra wedge that I just got for the holiday. So I feel that I need to be using it, get out there and start playing. And really make sure my golf game is all put together by, early May?
Yeah, second week. I mean, you got to get yourself together. You got to get yourself on a four-month regimen, you know, maybe 100 wedges a day, you know, a couple hundred on the weekend, right, Mike? You got time for that, right?
Sure.
All right, let's keep it rolling along. It's the top five golf resolutions here on the Course of Life. I'm at number three here, and this is one that I think you may have a problem with based on what I know about you and your putter history. I've always just found the cheap off-the-rack putters. I was putting with an old putter that my dad had in the 1970s for a few years as of recently. So my resolution is to go out and spend like kind of maybe a semi-ridiculous amount of money on a nice new putter. My mom just got a brand new Odyssey for Christmas, and I just feel like my putting has been so abysmal the last couple of years. This is the only solution, right? Right, Mike? That sounds correct?
Well, no, I'm going to completely and utterly disagree with you there, and that it's the complete wrong solution to go out there and spend a ridiculous amount of money on a new putter. Even the pros don't spend a ridiculous amount of money on new putters because they spend as little money as possible on old putters.
They do. There are those random stories that we always hear about how the guy like found a putter in the back of the pro shop like after his like fell out of his car and broke on the highway or something like that, and he ends up shooting like a 63 the next day.
Yeah, the putter that I currently play with, I think I was playing with you, actually. I had two putters in my bag. I had the putter that I had always played with, and I had a putter that I got from my grandfather. And it was his putter. He wasn't playing anymore, so I had it in there. And halfway through the round, I couldn't putt at all. And I was like, oh, why not? Let's just start playing with this guy. And I haven't put it down since because it's just improved my game. Again, just old putter, just taking it from somebody else. You don't need to spend the money on a big new putter. Just go go steal one from somebody.
Okay, good. Good to know. I'll start mapping out Dick's Sporting Goods and Golf Galaxies. Hopefully I don't get arrested. Thanks for that tip, Mike. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move. Number two. I'll take this one myself, Mike, because this is one I know you can react to. You're a Jim Nantz guy. We hear a lot about Tony Romo in the football booth. Everyone loves him as NFL announcer. You know, he's a little bit polarizing in the booth, but the weird thing that I want to see happen next year is I just want to hear like a weekend or a full Saturday afternoon of Romo joining Jim Nantz in the booth to call some golf. I think it could be an absolute catastrophe, and I'm here for it.
Yeah, you know, I we all know how I feel about Tony Romo. the listeners may not, but basically, I think Tony Romo is a crybaby who probably broke his leg as soon as he signed that contract with CBS. But he certainly is one of the better amateur golfers out there, one of the better pro athletes who golfs. And he actually could be a little better out there in the booth with Jim Nantz. That I might be willing to listen to that.
It'll be great because whenever he's listening to the replays and watching them in the NFL broadcast, he's always going, did he catch it? I don't know. And maybe he'll just do that for like every single putt that's tracking towards the hole. is it going to go? No, it didn't. Oh, okay. Thanks. Hand it over to you, Jim.
You know what? That actually sounds like a great pairing actually in the booth might be Tony Romo and Chris Berman.
Oh, God. I don't even know if the world's ready for Boomer again on the course. The legendary happy hour U.S. Open broadcast. Those were a fixture back in the day, having Boomer on the call. Oh, man. What a wild thought that was.
And let's move on to number one on our golf resolutions for 2019, something we can both certainly use and are probably plenty overdue for. And that's taking some lessons.
Mike, this is a long overdue. I've been saying this for years now. I peaked. You saw when I peaked, like just post-college. My golf game was peaking. I was shooting in the 70s. I had zero rounds in the 70s in 2019. I'm just an 80s guy now. I'm slipping backwards on the scorecard. I think this might be the time.
Yeah. You got to stay in the 70s because you got to make sure that you're at that place so that when you get to that age, you can hit your age. And you don't want to be hitting your age in the 80s. You want to be hitting your age.
That is a good life goal.
Yeah. Maybe even in the 60s.
Yeah, that is a life goal. And we're a few decades away from that, but I think now might be the time to start with that. So number one resolution golf-wise for us is think 2019 might be the year of just a few lessons to maybe straighten things out and hear something from someone who knows a little more than us.
Let's move on to clubhouse chatter. It's been quiet out there on the PGA Tour, as usually during this time of year. But the big news, if we want to call it big news, is officially no Tiger in Hawaii.
Yeah, we hinted at it, Mike. We thought it might be a thing. Could have played the tournament of champions with that wonderful win he had at the FedEx Cup championship in the fall. Probably for the better of his aging body. I guess he kind of tested out the back and his health on that trip, the scouting trip to Australia, and decided that he wasn't going to give it a go in Hawaii. We're kind of now looking at when he's going to potentially debut his season. He's won a bunch of Torrey Pines in the past. That could be an option. Maybe even Pebble Beach. The one I'd be really like to see because he hasn't played there in a long time. He had that historical hole-in-one you may remember back in the day, the early Tiger hole-in-one fist pump and run down the fairway at Scottsdale. That could be an absolutely electric atmosphere Super Bowl weekend. So we'll be looking out the next couple weeks to see where Tiger Woods makes his 2019 debut. And on that note, one other piece of Tiger news as well, Mike. The Tiger film match that we broke down Thanksgiving weekend officially renewed for two more years.
Well, if it's
what are
be
your
free
thoughts on that?
To watch for two more years like it was this year, I think it would be a great idea. But I think we both agreed we wouldn't pay money to watch this. So I'm still – jury's still out.
Yeah, allegedly $1 million paid that 1995 fee in November. They're all getting their money back. They all got their money back for that. Big loss from Turner there. It's allegedly logged in for two more years. What I'm hearing, Mike, it sounds like Tiger and Phil are each going to pick a buddy, and we're going to have a two-on-two Tiger and someone versus Phil and someone match. Not sure if it's going to be Thanksgiving weekend. No details yet. We'll get those as the season goes on. But we did hint at the two-on-two matches a few weeks ago. If you want to listen back a few episodes, on your preferred podcast medium, and we talked a little bit about potential matchups. So the 2-on-2 could add a nice little wrinkle to the team competition.
I think that would be interesting to see, but I think you do that so that you can transition in 2-3 years when these guys don't want to be doing it every year and they can't do it every year to get other guys into this format. So that's why you really start bringing in a buddy to play with.
I'm telling you, Mike, that Ryder Cup A-hole matchup between Patrick Reed and Ian Poulter, I've been thinking about that one like a few times since we last spoke about this a few weeks ago. I really think that like so many people will just hate watch that. The ratings could be through the roof. It could be electric. Should be fun to see who pairs up with them in the coming years.
Fun. And we're going to have a lot to talk about as we turn the calendar and 2019, more Clubhouse chatter coming in the new year. Some other things coming in the new year. We got some more interviews lined up coming down the pipe. You had a talk with someone as well. And
I did. Yeah, I talked to Chef Jazz, who we'll have on next week's episode, golf chef, traveling chef, and caterer, who's been to a lot of different sporting events, including many really cool venues. She had some great stories from inside the kitchen and the restaurants at Augusta National during Masters Week. And yes, Mike, I know you were wondering – I got Ricky Fowler's breakfast order, so we'll be talking about that next week as well. I know you were on the edge of your seat to find out how he likes his eggs. You know, so I'll let you know.
I'm a big fan of Ricky and what he eats for breakfast. It's something that encompasses my day. I'll also be sitting down with a golf course photographer who has a fantastic Instagram account if you like to look at photos of golf courses. So it'll be coming up in January as well. Let's turn back the clock a little bit. Let's do a little pop politics right now, Alex. Let's talk about something that happened just earlier this week. Christmas
this
Eve,
is a big one.
The annual time when the president and first lady take calls from boys and girls around the country who are calling into NORAD to find out where Santa is. And of course, unless you've been living under a rock, you've probably seen this incident where Donald Trump asked a 7-year-old, do you still believe in Santa? It's kind of marginal at this point, isn't it?
Marginal. Well, yeah, I guess at 7 years old, it is a little bit marginal. It's just an unbelievably harsh way to deliver the news to this little boy. I am hearing that he still believes. I did get a little follow-up just yesterday about that. They followed up with the kid. But this was just an absolutely ruthless phone call for Trump to make. The cameras were rolling, and he absolutely broke this kid's heart, Mike. So this kid was 7 when he found out.
I don't remember how old I was, but I do remember my mother sitting me down and just kind of asking me and just being like, do you believe in Santa? And I think at that point I was at the age where I was like, I don't know, it doesn't seem right.
Consider yourself lucky that you got the sit down from your mother. I got nothing near that. Okay. So Santa in my family is regularly played, and I figured this out fairly easily by one of my two uncles who lived next door in the town over to me growing up. Unfortunately, they really didn't go as far as they should to hide the Santa outfit because my uncle kept mysteriously disappearing to the bathroom for 15 or 20 minutes every Christmas. And then one year, he just put these little half boots over and didn't actually wear the official Santa black boots. So I just see his Converse sneakers just shining right through these half Santa boots. And I quickly realize, wait a second, these are my Uncle Bruce's Converses. What's going on here? And then I just put it all together, and that was the end for me. So I unfortunately did not have the luxury of the Santa talk. I just had to get the harsh news for myself.
And now that we've ruined the lives of millions of children that listen to our podcast.
Time
to take a break. And when we come back, if you're still with us, we'll talk college football. We'll do a little alma mater update with Quinnipiac, and we'll go from there. We'll be right back here on Course Life.
Like I fell back. A time that went by fast, said it would be the last. once more, to try it just once more. A car that filled with words, a place that I saw first, seemed like it was free when it was me.
Season in full swing, Mike, and this is the point where bowl season gets out of control, is the week between Christmas and New Year's. Yeah. It has been an unpredictable mess. Before we get to our playoff picks, we need to talk about two really, really weird games that took place this week. First up, ironically, the first Responders Bowl between Boston College Eagles and Boise State. This was strange, Mike. The game started 7-0, first quarter, lightning strikes, and then an hour later I'm on Twitter and the game is just canceled. Yeah. We're just done with it. We just didn't even bother, I guess.
Game's over. Basically, weather was horrendous. But really,
Dallas area.
I mean, it was bad weather. Well, it didn't look like it was going to improve. They had to cancel the game for the safety of everybody. But really, let's talk about the star of this game, and that is the Twitter account for the First Responders Bowl. I mean, they just were fantastic with their responses to people. If you haven't gone on Twitter to look at what they said, please do so, because this person deserves a big raise for handling everything.
Yeah, really, they're really just fighting against me and the gambling crowd on Twitter, because everyone was just so pissed that the game wouldn't go on. We needed the result of that game to decide what we're going to bet on the next game, and you know, we just need the result, period, just because we're like that. So they were really fighting an uphill battle, and shout out to them. Also, shout out to the random guy on the Boise State that just walked out to the field after the game was canceled and just rubbed his jersey all over the grass just to make it look dirty, to make it look like he played in a full game. You know, hey, you fake it till you make it. A bowl game appearance is a bowl game appearance, right? Even if it gets canceled.
Yeah.
So that was a strange one. And then the day could not be topped. Oh, no. It could, by the inaugural Cheez-It Bowl. This was an all-time goofy game, Mike. I was watching this part at a bar, part at home. People were mocking this relentlessly. I'm going to call it the Cheez-It Bowl for all the interception thrown. There were 9 picks total, 6 in the first half, Mike. The winning quarterback for TCU in their 10-7 victory, 7 for 20 passing for 27 yards and 4 interceptions. That was the winning quarterback's stat line. This was an all-time weird one.
Yeah, you know, I think this tweet also really sums it up from Roger Sherman, who said TCU's quarterback has now thrown interceptions A, after receiving a forward pass from another player, and B, after crossing the line of scrimmage. He doesn't need your rules. Just let him throw interceptions.
There was a triple pass interception. There was a missed field goal in overtime. And my other favorite stat from this legendary Cheez-It Bowl, TCU's leading receiver, again, TCU won this game, and their leading receiver was actually the safety for the other team. That's how bad this game was offensively through the air. So Cal and TCU, remember where you were when you watched the all-time weirdest bowl game of all, the Cheez-It Bowl. Truly the definition of just crappy bowl season. These were all-time strange ones. Hopefully this weekend we're going to get some actual football and some competitive football. We have our two semifinals, Mike. Let's just get quick two-three-word picks from you and I. Notre Dame, almost a two-touchdown underdog versus Clemson. Who do you like in that one?
Clemson.
Yeah, I like Clemson big. I actually like Clemson bigger, and I'll get to the second one. Then I like Alabama versus Oklahoma, Mike. So this is Alabama, number one team, big bad Nick Saban and the boys, going against MLB draft pick and Heisman Trophy winner Kyler Murray, the quarterback for Oklahoma. We'll see what kind of decisions Kyler Murray have to make. If he pulls one out of the hat and beats Alabama, he's kind of tossing between the NFL and MLB right now. Bama, Oklahoma, does Oklahoma have a shot at all, or are we just on that Bama-Clemson crash course that we've been talking about for 3 months now?
What I'm going to say is that even with their own suspensions of their own players, Alabama is going to continue to roll a victory, and the only way we can beat them is to enter an alternate universe in which Alabama is really a bunch of midgets who can only run backwards.
Essentially, yeah, because they injured Tua Tagovailoa. That didn't work. He's back. Jalen Hurts came in the SEC championship. He won a game for him anyway. I don't even know what we can do anymore. I think if we took two quarterbacks away, I honestly think Bama would just run the Wildcat and they'd still win anyway. They're that crazy. So we're looking at Bama-Clemson, but we'll see how it all plays out Saturday. We've certainly seen crazier. It should be a good Saturday semifinal in the college football playoff.
Yeah, we're certainly looking forward to that. And then let's do a little alma mater update. Let's talk Quinnipiac because we had once again another Quinnipiac alum play in the NHL, having their debut on the December 23rd. Devin Toews from the class of 2017 playing for the New York Islanders. He had a great first game. He had over 18 minutes logged, a minute 49 of power play time. He had the most time on the ice, second most time on the ice for all defensemen on the Islanders. Coach is speaking really highly of him. So really just fantastic to see some Quinnipiac Bobcats out there on NHL ice.
It is, yeah. So that's Baby Toews, the younger brother of Jonathan Toews, former Chicago Blackhawk, who had a great one with them as well. Made his debut for the Islanders, as you mentioned. Really cool routine that I saw in the NHL. They let the rookie in his first game do a solo skate and do a few laps around before the rest of the team came out for warmups. Really kind of neat moment for him to soak that all in. So we will be on the Toews watch to see how his year goes on Long Island and see if we can get a Bobcat really making some serious roar in the NHL. You know, I think it's time for that to happen. So shout out to Baby Toews.
It certainly is something we're going to look forward to. We're not going to really talk about basketball anymore for a while because we don't really like where we're at right now.
Yeah, we're heading to conference play. So we need to see some runs in MAC play for the Bobcats coming up here. We'll be talking a lot more Quinnipiac in the coming months, though, as we get closer to March Madness and Frozen Four. Let's see if we can get teams into both those events.
Yep. So as we start to wind down in this week's episode, let's share a couple new ways that you can listen to us. Of course, on all your favorite podcast apps, iTunes, with Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Overcast, Google Play, all those things. And really what we're thinking about this week is ways you can listen to us as you're traveling for the holidays.
Yep.
So how did you listen this last week?
Well, I did a couple things. I listened at 35,000 feet and Mike, we sound even better up there. I just want to let you know our smooth pipes sound fantastic when you're flying the friendly skies. I'm going to be doing the airport lounge pre-boarding tonight, maybe waiting in line at security. These lines are rough this time of year, so shout out to everyone who's in security lines. You can make it. Maybe we're about one episode long. Hopefully the line is a little bit less than that when you're waiting at your airport, but safe travels to everyone out there as we head into the new year. And like I mentioned, Mike, it's that time. I got a wedding in 4 months. The wedding diet is going to be in full effect starting January 2nd. I say the 2nd, Mike, mainly because there's just too many bowl games on the 1st, so I have to pick out that day. So we'll go January 2nd. It's going to be alcohol-free in January. Not a drop. No carbs, we're sticking to meats, eggs, fruits, and veggies. And Mike, here was the real sign from the gods that me and my fiance got. A Planet Fitness just opened like 500 yards from my house. So it's a definite sign. The gym membership is happening, and I'm officially that guy now for the next 4 months. I can't talk. I'm too busy working out. How annoying is that?
Yeah, you know, the great thing is 500 yards, that's the perfect cool down distance for a walk or a short jog after you finish that workout.
Indeed, yes. Yeah. So I'll be doing hopefully, I'm going to shoot for 30 minutes a day. Let's not go too crazy. 30 minutes a day, a couple dog walks, and we'll see how I'm looking in the suit in a few months. But yep, diet begins. Enjoy the rest of your holidays out there as well. Lots more coming from us in 2019. We're taking this to another level here. More interviews, more insight, maybe even a road trip or two. I'll be at some PGA Tour events coming up in 2019, looking to get some top quality content from those as well, Mike. So you have a happy new year, sir. And we'll talk again soon. Thank you all for listening.
Course of Life podcast is a production of Course of Life, all rights reserved. This week's music selection from freemusicarchives.com is Pure Adrenaline by Eddie and La 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 Song by Lorenzo's Music and Last of the Frontiersmen by Dark Meat. Questions or comments? You can find Alex and Michael on Twitter at Course of Life 1 and at MWRINC.